Rearranging the face of a clock around the fantasies of a child is cute, but children need to be taught to live in real time. Let's make sure the real world includes appropriate time with dad and mom and the family together. Because it isn't just about time, it's about love. For real answers to family challenges, visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, shining the light of God's truth, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's protection and blessing. Look for the Lighthouse on Bataravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set him free. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I hope you will accept my invitation to join us at the Lighthouse for a presentation on Creation versus Evolution by Russ Miller. If you have friends or relatives who have bought into the lie called Darwinian evolution, or if you have questions about whether our rights come from our Creator, you know, the way our founders believed, or if you just want to arm yourself to help those that do have that confusion, well then please plan to join us March 7 through 10. That date again, March 7 through 10 at the Lighthouse with Russ Miller, and he is going to blow away the mind-darkening myth of evolution with the light of truth supported by real science. Not that science falsely so-called spoke of in the Bible, but the real deal, baby. March 7 through 10 here at the Lighthouse. Call for more information. Okay, are you ready to learn? Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march. The communist coup update. How many progressives does it take to screw in a light bulb? No, that's an old joke. Here is a serious question. How many mindless progressives will become suicide bombers in service to our first Muslim president and explode their careers in order to pass a health care plan that Americans don't want? And in the process, blow American freedoms to Mecca. Also, what is this reconciliation business about anyway? My summit on the summit. The PA, President alleged, where's your birth certificate, sir? I mean, for heaven's sakes, I had to produce a birth certificate to join Little League. Anyway, the PA warned us he would not give up his campaign to socialize health care. This whole bipartisan thing is interesting to me. Obama wants to be bipartisan? When did that start? I was watching his speech plugging the then-upcoming healthcare summit, and I noticed the Obamster was wearing a flag lapel pin. Isn't that cute? Going into this summit, he is talking about Republican proposals that he is willing to consider and even embrace. One of them is the very good idea of allowing insurance companies to sell policies across state lines, and another good idea is to allow small business owners to pool together in order to create groups large enough to take advantage of the sorts of discounts on health plans that the big guys get. Now, I find all of this interesting. How long have we been haggling over this effort on the part of the Obama administration to take over the health industry in America? I mean, actually, even before Obama took a bungled oath of office, wasn't that a hoot? Since then, he has had this as his major focus. Look, one of his first of something like 32 czar picks was health czar Ezekiel Emanuel. Yeah, that is Ram's bro. And who is, by the way, responsible for most of the Dr. Death language that you find in the bill? You know, the language in the bill that I read to you a while back? The language that stirred up so much controversy about death panels? You know, with all the MSM's careful coverage on this topic, you are surely aware of the language that is in the bill that explains about how they are going to evaluate the cost-effectiveness of providing health care to the elderly, you know, who are about to die anyway, you know. You know, the cost-benefit ratio. Oh, yeah, they've even worked out a little formula they'll use that produces a number. And if you come out with too low a number, well, then your number's up, as they say. Yeah, on the air, I read to you the language that spells out what reasonable people came to call death panels. The bill calls for a panel of doctors who will decide whether or not it's time to let Grandma go. After all, if the public is paying for it, well, the public then has an interest in whether or not you are wasting public money on health care for elderly patients whose value to society is deemed by a certain panel of doctors to be not worth the money it will cost to keep them alive. That language. Remember that language? I read it to you from the radio. I wonder, is this language still in the bill? Well, let's see here. Oh, yes, it is. All during this process, the Democrat Congress has done everything in its power to keep the American people from seeing what is in this bill. We don't get a chance to look at the bill until after they've voted on it, and even the congresspersons who vote on it admit they've not had time to read it. Liars, liars, liars. Why don't they slow down and let the people responsible to vote on this thing read it? The answer is obvious to anyone but a mind-numbed Obama bot. Only a Kool-Aid-drinking simpleton can possibly miss the obvious fact that it is because, well, otherwise the people will find out what they're up to. Well, we can thank God for our system because the truth has leaked out and we've been able to put roadblocks in their way so that they have not been able to railroad, let's put it that way, to put our freedoms on a rail car to Auschwitz. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is incredible. They have pulled so many procedural tricks. They have rushed votes on a bill no one had a chance to read. They have pulled stuff like dropping a 1,000-page document on the desks of representatives at, 3 a.m.? And then call for a vote on it that day later on. These snakes have done everything in their power to keep the American people and even their own representatives from seeing what is in the bill. And Obama, who told us this would be the most transparent administration in history, when he was asked whether he would encourage the Congress to post the bills 72 hours before they're voted on for public perusal, as he promised, well, he said, well, he's not going to interfere with the process. Keyword. Deceiver, oh, full of subtlety, you child of the devil. I know some of you Christianettes out there, squeamish and silly, complaining about my harsh words. Take it up with Paul. Take it up with Peter. That's the language they used when they were rebuking snakes. Well, because of the extraordinary diligence of some members of Congress, they're not all snakes up there, by the way, we can thank God. And for the other citizens concerned about this, who have worked to get the truth out to the people. And so that the town hall meetings started getting kind of ugly, you know, and the Tea Party Express got to rolling. And these shenanigans were made more and more public, and the public got more and more angry. And all this while Obama has been posturing, is not involved in all that process, you know, aloof to these maneuvers. But behind closed doors, actually directing these things, using thug-like Chicago politics, saying he would not directly intervene in the process, but he would let the legislators take care of their own business, and pretending to be interested in the division of powers, you know, having respect for the process. Let the process follow its course. But the Tea Party movement got the attention of some of the dimwits, and they began to pull their support away from the bill, and finally it became obvious that the bullying tactics of Obama's thugocratic administration... as opposed to theocratic, you know, thugocratic, anyway, was not going to get it done. And then suddenly Obama puts on a flag pin, starts talking all, you know, bipartisan. He invites the Republicans to a health care summit where they were going to iron out their differences. Well, I am proud of McCain for calling him out on this process hypocrisy. You might have seen the exchange. McCain points out that the bill they were gathered at the summit to discuss had been prepared privately by Obama and his hitmen, his thugocrats, and did not include any Republican input. How ironic, don't you think? They were to discuss Obama's bill. Not a bill produced by bipartisan process. What a bunch of window dressing. Do you see the point? Not one of the bills produced by Congress or the Senate, or now the one produced by Obama. None of them was produced by any kind of bipartisan effort. And McCain called Obama on the hypocrisy of this effort to showcase bipartisanship. And Obama all of a sudden is saying, the American people don't care about process. Oh, really? The fact is, that is exactly what has got us so very sure that you guys are trying to pull a fast one. It's because of your process. Anyway, a few of the honest representatives attending this summit attempted to address specific provisions in the plan. if you watched it as I did, Obama's response was dismissive and demagoguery. We can't be going over all the provisions in this 1,000-page bill. We'll never get done. Oh, my goodness, what a liar. Hey, what is the point of the exercise if no one is allowed to actually discuss the specific provisions of the bill that he's asking them to support? What is this nonsense? I mean, this man is a thinking dictator. He expects people to receive his version of the bill as though it descended from Mount Olympus. And he is Zeus, you know. And when anyone said things he did not want to hear, did you notice? He sends out lightning bolts from his evil eye, glare over a subtle finger salute gesture, you know, the way street punks do when they think they're cool. You go too far, you say. Well, he built a Zeus altar stage for his party acceptance speech, so I think I'm within my bounds here. He designed a logo for himself, including the mountains of Olympus. And the man thinks he's an incarnation of Zeus, I think, huh? And when challenged for taking up so much time in his opening remarks and elsewhere in the course of this summit, you know, while, by the way, strictly controlling and limiting the amount of time that any conservative representative was given to present their case, well, he gave double time to himself, you know, in his own Obama bots. Did you know that? Yeah, when he was challenged for this rude behavior. Are you ready for this? Do you know what he said? You heard it, didn't you? He said, well, I'm the president, so yes, I took more time than I allowed for others. And you hear the little progressive Obama bots cooing at his bold assertion of authority. You know what? So what? You're the president. We're supposed to bow down and kiss your ring? You invite people to your house, as it were, for a discussion, and this is how you treat them? What a boorish, arrogant, and crude man. I mean, folks, you better wake up and see what you have put into the Oval Office. Good night, thugocracy. A thugocratic dictator. This man does not understand that we don't do kings here. Hey, Obama, we don't do the bow and scrape and kneel before a man thing like you do. We are Americans. And by God's grace, no man is king here. And the fact that you hold the office of president, perhaps illegally, by the way, does not make you more powerful in the area of legislation than the Congress, with the exception that you can veto a bill that requires a supermajority to override, but they can override you. When it comes to the amount of time you get to have to speak before Congress, just because your president doesn't give you more authority in that regard than anyone else? What nonsense. At least that is the way real leaders in America think. You know, great men like George Washington, whom we do sorely miss. Well, Rush called it. He knew this summit was going to be window dressing. I think he felt that the conservative Republicans who attended this summit did well. And, you know, the ones who challenged Zeus effectively. But in the final analysis, Rush and others, too, were correct. After all that Obama was doing was exactly what they are now saying that he was doing, simply trying to create an excuse to go ahead without the Republicans, to put so-called gridlock on display. Okay, at the end of the summit, Obama summed it up and revealed his true thuggish temperament. A true thugocrat. After all was said and done, he called on the Democrats to go ahead with the plan to use the reconciliation maneuver to pass the health care bill without requiring the 60 votes otherwise needed. Now, much has been said about this reconciliation rule, but few understand it. When I get back from my short break, I'll explain the reconciliation rule that they intend to misuse in order to bypass a filibuster. You know what? I don't have time for a break. I'm going to have to just roll on. Excuse me. I'm offering my summit of the summit. I want to explain the process the Democrats are threatening to use to pack our freedoms on the Obama train headed for Auschwitz. You've heard them talk about using the reconciliation rule to pass the health care bill. Essentially, the bottom line is that this allows the majority party to get around a filibuster, thus allowing them to pass a bill into law without needing what is called a supermajority. I'm going to explain all this. All legislation, which, by the way, is the work of creating laws, must originate in the Congress, according to our Constitution. In America, the Congress consists of two chambers, That is what is meant by the expression bicameral. Bi equal two, and cambrial refers to chambers. And we call them the House of Representatives and the Senate. Casually, we usually call the House of Representatives the Congress. And the Senate, well, we call it the Senate. Okay, so a law, which is called a bill, and this is because the word bill refers to a written list or a catalog. It comes from a Latin word that refers to a sealed document. So this bill originates in either the Congress or the Senate. And, however, wherever it originates, it has to be approved by a simple majority vote in both houses before it can be sent to the president. Of course, when the president receives a bill, he either signs it into law or he vetoes it. If he vetoes it, according to the Constitution, then the Congress and the Senate can only override a veto by a two-thirds majority vote in each house. Otherwise, the bill dies. Now, of course, all of this comes right out of the Constitution, and the obvious intent of this process is to check the power of the majority and offer the minority some legitimate influence in legislation. In other words, if the simple majority in both houses approve a bill by a narrow vote, that always means the representatives of almost half the country are opposed to it. Hello? Therefore, the president, who is voted for by the entire population, can require more than a simple majority in the houses of Congress to get the bill passed into law. He does this by vetoing the bill and sending it back to the house where it originated. You see, the founders were concerned about a simple majority trampling all over the interests of the minority. At the same time, they provided against a minority having undue control. And so they created a balance of powers so that a supermajority can overcome a minority's party effort to block a bill. I mean, it's as close to perfect as you're going to find this side of heaven. Now, we come to another way that the minority influence in shaping law is protected. It is something called a filibuster. Now, the term has roots back to a German word that means something like to hijack. It's used here in the idea of hijacking the debate. According to the Constitution, the Congress and the Senate are allowed to make their own rules of procedure for how they do their business. In 1975, the Senate created a law that requires, that the Senate requires, that the Senate must have a two-thirds majority vote of the Senate before it can change any of its rules. That's not wishy-washy, just changing rules willy-nilly. Furthermore, the Senate has also a rule that requires a 3/5 majority vote of the Senate to end a filibuster. Now, Democratic Senator Robert Byrd was instrumental in getting this established in the Senate, and it's all about protecting the integrity of participation in legislation by the minority party. Otherwise, what would happen is whatever party held the majority in Congress and the White House, well, they could ignore the interests of nearly half of the citizens in the country at any given time. Okay, so now we're ready to look at this health care bill and understand how they're going to use a special rule called reconciliation to get around a filibuster. When the Senate received the health care bill from the Congress, there was not sufficient support in the Senate to pass the bill as Congress represented it. Now, this is partly because some Democratic senators were concerned about public funding of abortions. Some were concerned about the cost, and so on. Therefore, when the minority party threatened to filibuster the bill, well, the Democrats knew they would need a supermajority to pass it, and that required them, therefore, to make some pretty considerable concessions to some of the more conservatively inclined Democrats in the Senate. Now, they made these concessions, and so they got enough votes to overcome the filibuster that was threatened by the minority party. However, the concessions made to the more conservative Democratic members of the Senate and some unsavory backroom deals made to certain senators, a la the Nebraska man Nelson, well, these were unacceptable to a significant number of Democrats in the Congress. Now, the Congress does not have enough votes to accept the Senate version of the bill. According to Pelosi, they want to send a revised bill back to the Senate that they think the Senate will likely accept. However, something has changed during all of this time. You see, the Senate no longer has sufficient votes to end a filibuster. One of their Democratic members died, and in a special election, Republican Scott Brown was sent to the Senate in his place. And now Mr. Brown has said that he is committed to the idea that every state should enact its own version of a universal health care plan. In other words, the Senate is now vulnerable to a filibuster, where a senator takes the floor and refuses to yield it. Now, on top of this, more and more information has been getting out to the public through all this process, and a groundswell of resistance has built up from the people against this bill. And now the bill has become a health care bomb that some of the congresspersons are not willing to strap around their waist and explode their careers at the altar of Zeus, the Almighty. Oh, I mean at the altar of Allah, you know, for our first Muslim president. So now Obama is encouraging his Obama bots to go ahead with using the reconciliation rule, the so-called nuclear option, to pass the health care bill without having to come up with 60 votes in the Senate. Now, how does this work? Well, the reconciliation rule is a special provision that was put in place for the purpose of getting a budget passed when bipartisan support was thin. But it was never intended to be used for legislating laws that limit our freedom, as all laws do, such as this Health Care Reform Act. Nevertheless, they intend to use it in this way, and here's how it works. The Congress will go ahead and accept the Senate bill as it was written by the Senate, and they'll accept it verbatim. If they change anything, you see, it has to go back to the Senate, where it will be vulnerable to filibuster, and therefore require 60 votes to pass, and they no longer have 60 votes. So, you see, the Congress can get around this by simply accepting the Senate bill, and they can do that by a simple majority vote of the House. Well, then, the idea is the Congress will invoke the reconciliation rule. And in this, what they do is they create another law that addresses the issues of concern to them in the Senate version of the bill. And because this is a reconciliation of a bill the Congress has already passed, well, then the rules in the Senate are such that they can accept reconciliation by simple majority vote. And furthermore, listen, the Senate rules say you cannot filibuster a reconciliation. Interesting. So the idea is that Congress has accepted the Senate version of the health bill, and a reconciliation is not a change in the bill. What kind of double talk is this? But only a means to reconcile the differences of the two houses over the bill. Nonsense. Senate rules do not allow filibuster or reconciliations. Listen, this is a dirty trick. Pelosi has said, however, that the House will not pass the Senate bill unless the Senate creates a second bill that fixes the first one. She is concerned that the Senate will simply send their version of the bill to the president if the House goes ahead and accepts it, you know. However, for the Senate to do as she has asked is going to require the Senate to come up with a filibuster-proof bill. They're not going to be able to do that, you see, because the minority party will filibuster the new bill. Also, it is certain that some of the more conservative Democratic senators will not support the new version of the bill that the Congress wants. So, you see, it's hoped that, as Con Carroll of the Heritage Foundation said Friday, quote, "Someone needs to tell the president his health care plan is dead," end quote. In need of health care. Anyway, how does Obama justify encouraging his Obamatrons to use this dirty trick? Well, he says, Americans believe in majority rule. First of all, a majority in the Senate does not necessarily constitute a majority of the American public. If Obama wants the majority to rule in this, well then, hey, put your health care plan in the hands of we the people and let us vote on it in a national election. And you want to know what'll happen? It'll go down in flames. Oh, he's a thugocrat. He is the most wicked lying scoundrel who ever held office. He is the Trump suit of liars, taking every trick. He makes Clinton look honest by comparison. But this sort of thing resonates with some of my liberally inclined listeners. These rotten communists are destroying our country. Now, we don't believe in majority rule. We believe in rule by law. President alleged, remember when the majority supported slavery? If the majority believes in killing old people who are too expensive to keep alive on the public dole, would you believe in majority rule then, Mr. President? Yeah, I think you would. You see, but would you, my dear progressive friends, do you believe that way? Look, the whole filibuster thing gives the minority a voice in legislation when that law that's being legislated does not have broad support. Now, think about this. It keeps the ruling party from steamrolling over the minority. However, a filibuster can be broken by a three-fifths majority of the Senate, called a supermajority, and this means a minority cannot obstruct legislation that does have wide and general support. That's a good idea, if you ask me. Now, look, these yahoos want the government to take over one-sixth of the economy. This law provides for intrusion of the government into your personal health care decisions. This law gives government the power to make life and death medical decisions on behalf of your family and for yourself without you having any control of the matter. This law politicizes your health care. This law is not wanted by the American people at large. Any law that is so controversial that there is not a clear supermajority in support of it, you see, and that because a significant number of lawmakers oppose it, representing a significant number of citizens in the country, it is reasonable that we say, slow down, hold your horses. This is a matter that requires a supermajority to pass, and that gives us all time to really get a look at this thing. So far, this saved America from a communist coup. I'm going to move toward a break, but Obama doesn't give up, does he? You know what? We'd better send him a message that we don't give up either. I began the show with the question, how many of these liberal politicians will willingly become suicide bombers, exploding their own careers in order to advance Obama's bid to destroy America? I guess we're going to find out on Monday. My friend, this is about taking control of your life out of your hands and giving the government power to decide who lives and who dies when it becomes necessary to invoke the final solution. Check your history. My dear friends, pray and participate and do so to the fullest. Stop the politicizing of healthcare. I have lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know that you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And the drill is this. You say lights on and hang up if you agree, or leave a message if you like. Or you can say lights off and hang up if you disagree. Or you also may leave me a message if you like. And you can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the Contact Us button and then write a message to me. Also, check the radio button and you'll see some shows being posted there. And by the way, you can go to our podcast site and you have a large archive of brain massages. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights-off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights-on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way.
Rearranging the face of a clock around the fantasies of a child is cute, but children need to be taught to live in real time. Let's make sure the real world includes appropriate time with dad and mom and the family together, because it isn't just about time, it's about love. For real answers to family challenges, visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, shining the light of God's truth, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's protection and blessing. Look for the Lighthouse on Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind. Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. for two complete brand new brain massage shows.
Rearranging the face of a clock around the fantasies of a child is cute, but children need to be taught to live in real time. Let's make sure the real world includes appropriate time with dad and mom and the family together, because it isn't just about time, it's about love. For real answers to family challenges, visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, shining the light of God's truth, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's protection and blessing. Look for the Lighthouse on Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.